University Broadcast Studio. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Wow. Wow. Do we have a show for you today? Very excited to announce that our good friend, Pastor John MacArthur, is going to be with us a little bit later on in the program today. Pastor John MacArthur, we have some breaking news to share with you because now we do know that Los Angeles authorities are threatening to arrest Pastor MacArthur, and they are threatening to fine Grace Community Church $1,000 a day for being in defiance of their rules and regulations governing when and how people of faith can go to church. So we're going to be talking with him a little bit later on in the program. Also, our good friend Senator Rand Paul is going to be here, and Congressman Thomas Massey as well. And we have some other news we'll share with you a little bit later on in the program. But I want to start with something that's we're going to get to Sally Yates, who is testifying up on Capitol Hill. Some fascinating nuggets there. And we're going to get to what Jim Acosta had to say about President Trump. But I want to start with an apology. And I know I can't apologize to on behalf of our audience, but I feel as though I must. And the reason I say that is because I wrote something on Twitter yesterday that has sort of gone viral. And a lot of news organizations around the country have picked up on something that I tweeted. Newsweek, USA Today, The New York Post. And I wanted to address this with you, the faithful listeners of this radio program. And it's about Oprah, the billionaire, the black billionaire. So Oprah, over the past few days, has been holding some sort of a confab that is basically convincing white people that there's something wrong with them because of the color of their skin. And we're going to play some audio here in just a moment. But I contend, as far as the apology goes, I contend that we as Caucasians, and I, Todd Starnes, your friendly neighborhood broadcaster, is a white man, a Caucasian, a pale face, a honky, if you will, a cracker, saltine American. I'm a white guy. And honestly, I think all of us owe Oprah an apology because we are responsible in part for her becoming a billionaire. So our white privilege made Oprah a billionaire. And I feel, I don't know about you, I feel really bad about that. I really do. I may not sleep well, even though I normally sleep incredibly well, thanks to Mike Lindell and the MyPillow and those lovely Giza sheets. But I don't know. Tonight it may be restless because I'm really struggling. I'm grappling with this sense of horror and devastation of what I, Todd Starnes, have wrought upon Oprah Winfrey simply because of the pigmentation of my skin. And I do feel bad about that. So anyway, I decided to write about this on Twitter last night, and I may write a longer piece. But a lot of the news organizations around the country picked up on what I wrote, and I want to read because I love the way Caleb and Avery, you never know when the mainstream media picks up on something you do. Normally, it's pretty horrible. But I have to tell you, they did a pretty good job. They quoted me accurately, and that's all I can ask, and they spelled my name right.
That's always a plus.
Yeah, we'll take that.
Also, yours is not a terribly hard name to spell, so I'm glad that they were able to do that with no problem.
You would be surprised. You would be surprised. So the New York Post, I love the way they framed me, because normally it's ex-Fox News host Todd Starnes. But the New York Post was very kind. They said, conservative media head Todd Starnes said this, "I pray for the day that America becomes a nation where someone like Oprah will be able to become a billionaire." Senator Ted Cruz was a bit more direct. He says that Oprah's comments are utter racist BS. So you say, Todd, what did Oprah say? All right, we've got a couple of sound bites here. And you know what, Caleb? I think we're going to play these back to back. Here's Oprah bashing all of you white people.
And as white people, we even the poorest of the poor, I feel, still has a leg up. And it's...
Yeah,
it's
and
really
the leg up is what I was saying. You still have your whiteness. That's what the term white privilege is. It means that whiteness still gives you an advantage no matter what.
I was going to say, and then I'll let you answer it. White people, there are white people who are not as powerful as the system of white people, the caste system that's been put in place, but they still, no matter where they are on the rung or the ladder of success, they still have their whiteness.
In other words, somebody that is white living in a trailer park in abject poverty, and I don't mean to stereotype, but just follow me for a moment here. So if you're a white person and you live in a trailer park, you don't have two nickels to rub together. You're living off the government dime. You got to go to the food bank once a week just to get some groceries. You got no teeth because you got no dental. You have no dental plan. You can't even go to the doctor to get checked out to see if you got the China virus because you got no money. You have to take public transportation wherever you go because you don't have a driver's license. You, if that is you, Oprah says you are better off than she is. Seriously, just think about this for a moment. Go back and play cut number two and listen very closely to what Oprah has to say.
I was going to say, and then I'll let you answer it. White people, there are white people who are not as powerful as the system of white people, the caste system that's been put in place, but they still, no matter where they are on the rung or the ladder of success, they still have their whiteness.
You white and you ain't got no alibi. That's it. In a nutshell, folks, Oprah says that all of you poor white people out there, poor white trash, you folks are better off than Oprah Winfrey, who currently is worth $2.6 billion. That's what Oprah believes in her heart of hearts. Senator Cruz is right. That woman's a racist. This is just outrageous stuff here, folks. But this is the reality of where we are in America right now. By the way, I was going through and wanted to do some research. I never have been a big Oprah fan. I didn't. Fellas, did you watch the Oprah show back in the day?
I did not.
Yeah, I didn't think so. So Oprah is, she's made a lot of money. She's been very successful. And, you know, again, I just wasn't a big fan of the show. It was, predominantly directed towards the lady crowd, the lady listeners, the lady viewers. But I will say this. She's been successful, and she deserves everything she has in life right now. $2.6 billion. You know what? Oprah earned that, and good for her. I don't begrudge her. As a matter of fact, I think her life is an aspirational life story. So if you're a young person, no matter if you're white or black, you would want to be like Oprah. I mean, you want to be a success in your field of study, whatever that might be. But it has nothing to do with skin color. She's just a very gifted, talented communicator. That's not good enough. This woman has eight houses. Eight houses. Do you know anybody who has eight houses? One of the houses is worth over $100 million. Montecito, California. I think that's over near Santa Barbara. Beautiful, beautiful area. She also owns a house in Maui, as in Hawaii. And Caleb, do you know how Oprah gets to her house in Hawaii?
Don't tell me she's got a private plane.
Oh, she's not flying Southwest, my friend.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, she's not waiting in the corral, hoping not to get the middle seat. Oprah has a bazillion-dollar jet, a private jet she owns, Global Express XRS, 14 passengers. Leather seats, my friend.
How would you like that? Leather seats.
I bet it's even got a DVD player.
Oh, you know, I guarantee you, if you ask for extra pretzels or the biscotti, they're going to give it to you.
Shoot, they've probably got hot pretzels waiting in there. Forget about those little salt hard pretzels that they give you on the planes. I bet she's got hot pretzels brought to her on plates.
I bet they have a baker on the plane that actually makes the biscotti in flight. She has like a private chef there. They have like a full kitchen.
Can I take a lunch break now? Getting hungry.
But you know what, folks? Just think about this. Oprah Winfrey and her bazillion-dollar private jet with the leather seats and the private chef making the biscotti cookies. She believes that you, white person, sitting in the corral at the airport waiting to get on board Southwest Airlines so you can sit in that middle seat and breathe in all the diseased air of your fellow passengers, that you are better off than she is. Does this make any sense to you folks? You've got to be very careful here because we are going through a period in American history where we are seeing racism against white people becoming mainstream. And it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter who you are. In the eyes of someone like Oprah, you will still be a white person and you will be more successful than she is simply because of the skin color. And I just don't get that. I don't understand people who have that mentality. That to me is a racist mindset. That to me is a very that is the kind of mindset that the white supremacists have. They think they're seriously. This is unbelievable. And for someone like Oprah to be spewing this kind of hatred and shaming people because of their skin color, it's just outrageous, especially someone who got most of her fortune because a good many white people watched her shows, bought her movies, and did whatever Oprah does. This is America. So anyway, we're going to take your calls on this. And do you feel bad for Oprah? I mean, seriously, white people, if you want to call and if you want to confess your sins to Oprah, happy to take those calls. But again, Oprah Winfrey, $2.6 billion in the bank, 8 houses worth millions and millions of dollars, a private jet. She has a custom Bentley. And you folks driving around in your Prius or whatever, Ford Taurus, she says you're better than her. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Starnes.
Claudia writes in. Claudia says, the only thing my whiteness got me was sunburn and skin cancer. Oh, Claudia. I'm sorry to hear that. You got to put on the sunscreen. You got to wear the hat. Barry says, Todd, wealth is the real privilege, not color. And Trudy says, Todd, it sounds like she's a racist. Nurse Melissa says, Todd, Oprah can go suck an egg. Good. Wow. You folks are almost a little over 100 comments so far on the Facebook live stream. Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Janice, what do you want to say about Oprah?
Oprah is no good. Oprah said, I knew this, you know, this. She said this a long time ago, but I just looked it up on the internet, and in her own words, she's saying that, you know, old people need to die. These people, they need to die. Old, in other words, old white people need to die. She's trying to say that there's the old people are prejudiced and racist and stuff, and they need to die. I mean, I just think that's not very good, not good at all.
No, it's not good. No,
wishing people dead. No, wishing people dead. I mean, look, I had a next-door neighbor here years ago. And in the morning, she'd watch Price is Right, and then she'd turn the TV off. I told her, I said, look, I said, you're missing out. I said, you turn it off just when the soap opera is coming on. I said, it's a good show. Check it out. And we got to talking about TV a little bit, you know. And she indicated to me she didn't watch Cosby. She didn't watch Good Times. She didn't watch these shows, those, you know, comedies or sitcoms that they had on at night. I said, why don't you watch those? I said, they're very, very good. They're very funny, and the people that are in them are very talented and everything. So I got this indication from her, this feeling and everything, that the reason she didn't watch the programs was because they were black people. I told her, I said, you don't know what you're missing. But, I mean, still, I disagreed with the woman, but I didn't wish Miss Lillian dead. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. And Janice, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is our dear sweet friend, the Queen of New Orleans, Miss Janice, one of our regular callers. And she's referring to an interview Oprah did. I believe this was back in 2013 with the BBC. And they said, you know, Oprah, what is the solution? Oprah, you billionaire person with eight houses and the leather interior private jet with the Bentley, what is the solution to racism? And she says, old people just have to die. That's what she said. You can Google it. You can watch the video for yourself. But Janice, when you hear what she says now about how even the poorest white person in America has more privilege than she does, that tells me a lot about Oprah's character.
I think that's ridiculous with all her money and everything. Believe me, I'm sitting around here sweating because I have a fan on a table. I can't put the AC on and leave it on continually because I wouldn't be able to pay the bill. I mean, I don't know what you'd consider so privileged about that. I live within my means. I do the best I can. You know, Todd, let me tell you something. They're talking about racism and everything, and yeah, okay, I can't say that maybe there aren't some white people that don't like black people. I mean, I don't, if somebody hasn't done me something wrong or something, I mean, I have nothing against them, you know? But there are black people who are racist against white people, and nobody ever says anything about that. And I've experienced it personally. I live near a school, and I've had people treat me terribly. I've been threatened one day with being pushed in the drain, and I had a boy on a school bus call me ugly white trash, and then another day I was ugly white B-I-T.
That's appalling. Look, let me tell you
something. And this was coming from a boy.
Well, so, let me tell you something, Janice. If that happens again, you let us know, and we're going to send Avery down there, and he'll take care of business. He'll be like your personal bodyguard, like the Whitney Houston movie. Look, Miss Janice, we got to run. We got to leave it there. You know how this goes. But I think you raise a lot of fair points. You're right. There are racists of all stripes and colors. The problem is they're actually making the argument that only white people can be racist. This is appalling. Folks, we've got to get a handle on this. Or this country's heading down a very bad path. Hey, Joe Biden, breaking some news just a few moments ago. We're going to get into that next. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. A couple of interesting congressional races to talk about, including this Kansas primary. Now, I know a lot of folks in the mainstream media are making some hay over Kris Kobach, who went down in flames in Kansas. Dr. Roger Marshall, is going to be the Senate nominee to replace Senator Pat Roberts. And a lot of folks are saying, oh, well, this means that President Trump is on the downward slide, and people who support the president, there are no coattails. Well, that has nothing to do with this. As a matter of fact, the president did not endorse anyone in this particular election. And there was some speculation that the reason why is because Kris Kobach lost the governorship. Remember, he ran and lost for governor. So Kobach jumped into the U.S. Senate race. There had even been some speculation that Secretary of State Mike Pompeo might jump into the race. That did not happen. But the issue here was not Donald Trump. The issue here was a lot of voters were basically turned off by Kobach's loss back when he was running for governor, and people were very concerned about that. They want to make sure that the Senate seat in Kansas, which has been in the hands of the Republicans for generations, stays in the hands of the Republicans. So Roger Marshall, he had the backing of a lot of the pro-life groups. And look, I think he's going to do a good job. So we'll see how that race goes. But there's a bigger story taking place in Missouri, and I want to share this information with you. What have I been saying for months now about this civil war that's unfolding within the Democrat Party? The progressives, the AOC, Ilhan Omar wing of the party, was on the rise. That Nancy Pelosi is not going to be the average Democrat. That moniker now goes to AOC. And especially in New York City, where several high-profile, for lack of a better term, moderate leftists or moderate liberals lost their seats, their long-held seats, to these radical progressives. That's what happened last night in Missouri. Cori Bush is her name, a nurse. She is a Black Lives Matter activist, so she has pledged allegiance to Marxism, and now she is possibly going to Congress. She defeated Congressman William Lacey Clay, last night in the Democratic primary. So she was able to oust a sitting United States congressman. And she is a radical far leftist. This is where the Democrats are going. This is why 2020 is so vitally important, that we maintain control of the Senate, we maintain control of the White House, and Lord willing and the creek don't rise, we can reclaim the House of Representatives. But it's going to be a long, long, ugly fight. I'm just telling you. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to Anchorage, Alaska. David, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. We've got a situation brewing up here in Anchorage. We've got a little Napoleon mayor who, as of Monday, shut the restaurants and bars back down. Of course, we've been closed forever. And finally, there was where they allowed dine-in again, you know, the last few weeks. But on Monday, he decided to shut the restaurants back down. And he's even gone so far as to pick a fight with one of our local guys, the owner of Kreiner's Diner. Shut him down and won't let him open up. And so the people, Kreiner's defying the mayor. And so now he's threatening to use the health department and everything else to shut him down. And, these folks, they're dying up here, you know, all kinds of little restaurants now that they finally open up the indoor dining again and give them a hope to get restarted. And Monday they shut it back down. Well, folks are just saying, no, I'm not going to do it anymore.
And, David, this is happening in Anchorage, is that right? Anchorage,
right.
Alaska?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Mayor Ethan Berkowitz is the little guy who wants to shut us all down.
I'm wondering if a lot of these restaurant owners and businesses are just going to defy the local leadership there and reopen their businesses. I mean, what can they do if all of you guys reopen your establishments?
Well, I don't know what they could do, but I don't think they could arrest everybody, do they? I think today I might go have a nice big lunch at Kreiner's Diner. Is what I think I'm going to do. I'm just a guy here working a job somewhere else, but this stuff has just pushed me to the edge.
Well, I think it's pushing a lot of people to the edge, David. I mean, here in Memphis, Tennessee, where we broadcast our program, they have the health department came in, and even though the governor said, you know what, kids are going to be able to go out and play high school football, the local health department here overrode the will of the governor and said, yeah, no, we're not going to let that happen. You're not going to be able to do that.
Well, we got to stand up. And this bend the knee stuff, that's for the birds. I'll bend the knee to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's it.
Oh, amen. I like how you think, David. Yeah, Kreiner's Diner. I'm looking at the Anchorage Daily News coverage here. And a very popular local establishment, and they have been ordered to immediately stop serving customers indoors because of the emergency order. And Andy Kreiner, who owns Kreiner's Diners, which is why they call it Kreiner's Diners, said that he needed to take a stand. And he's gotten a lot of support from the community. Is that true, David? Are you seeing a lot of folks are supporting the restaurant, the diner?
Yeah, they ran out of food. They had to close on Tuesday to go resupply.
That's a good problem if you're in the restaurant business. Good for them. Yeah. Good for them. David, I want you to do us a favor. You're the eyes and ears of the show in Anchorage. So if you see stuff going down, you let us know, and we will do our best to bring some light to what's happening there in Anchorage.
I will do that, Todd. Thank you for what you do.
Well, you're kind to say that, David. Thank you for listening to the program and give us a holler back, and welcome to the show. You know, we're adding new listeners, new cities every single day on this radio program. Oh, I got to tell you about Joe Biden. This information just coming in a few moments ago. The vice president, former VP, says he's not going to Milwaukee. So he is not going to he's not going to accept the nomination in person in Milwaukee. He's going to do it from his basement. Wow, he's really afraid of leaving the basement. What's up with that? It's like his little security blanket. Anyway, the headline from Fox News, Biden scraps plans to travel to Milwaukee, citing coronavirus concerns. Instead, he will accept the nomination and deliver a speech from his basement in Delaware. By the way, the former VP was doing an interview. We've got this audio. This is great stuff. So Biden was doing an interview with some sort of a national association of uppercase black and uppercase Hispanic journalist. And he was asked about whether or not he had taken a cognitive test. Caleb, let's play that audio.
Please clarify specifically, have you taken a cognitive
test? No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not. What do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say to President Trump, who brags about his test and makes your mental state an issue for voters?
Well, if he can't figure out the difference between an elephant and a lion, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Did you watch that? Look, come on, man. I know you're trying to goad me, but I mean, I'm so forward looking to have an opportunity to sit with the president or stand with the president in debates.
Wow. So let's just review the facts here. The former vice president, a white man, just asked a black, uppercase black journalist. That's, by the way, lowercase w for them. I'm trying to follow Associated Press guidelines here. Regardless, you had a white vice president asking a black journalist whether or not he was doing cocaine and whether or not he was a junkie. So I just want to throw this out here, folks. What do you think would have happened had President Trump done something like that? 844-747-8868, toll-free number. Our website, got to check out the live show blog. This is Todd Starnes. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We're having a few technical hiccups here, and that it happens every now and again. Look, most people think only, regular folks, the humans, get the China virus, but apparently we've got a tech issue as well. So as we're working that out, we're going to continue the conversation. We are expecting Dr. Manny Sethi to join us towards the end of this hour. So, guys, if we have Dr. Sethi on the line, just let me know what we need to do, because we also have to take a commercial break as well. So you guys just hang tight as we go through this little hiccup here. But going back to Biden. You know, the big issue here, when you look at his performance of late, clearly something is not right. And, you know, it's fun to make jokes about the guy, but the reality is he's not well. And he does need to, we've got to figure out what's going on here. And a lot of that will depend on who he selects as his vice presidential running mate. You know, a lot of people have been speculating that it's going to be Susan Rice. Well, a couple of weekends ago, I was able to sit down and watch for probably the 12th or 13th time that incredibly powerful and disturbing movie about the attacks on our consulate and the outpost in Benghazi. And I got to tell you something. If Susan Rice is the person, she's going to have to answer for that. She's the one who's going to have to answer for what happened in Benghazi, leaving Americans to die. That's unacceptable. So I know a lot of people are saying, well, she's a lot of the Democrats are saying she's the strongest of the potential picks, but she is going to have to, she's going to have to answer for that. All right, guys back in Gainesville, tell me what we're going to do here.
We're going to take a break. I think we're all straightened out now. We're COVID. We're COVID free.
Yay. All right, good stuff. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Another big, big race tomorrow in the volunteer state, the state of Tennessee, where Bill Hagerty, who was the establishment guy, is in a fierce battle with Dr. Manny Sethi, who is the true conservative, running for the GOP nomination to replace Senator Lamar Alexander. I want to go right now to the Liberty University newsmaker line. Dr. Manny Sethi is with us. Hey, Dr. Sethi, how's it going out there on the campaign trail?
Todd, hey, brother. It's good to be with you, man. Thank you so much. Well, it's going great. We're barnstorming East Tennessee. You know, we were just out in West Tennessee on Monday with Ted Cruz, and thank you for being the MC of that awesome event in Memphis. And, you know, Ted Cruz was so excited when you were there. He couldn't say enough about you. And we feel really good. But, you know, Todd, today I'm troubled, because this morning we come to find out that Mitt Romney gave my opponent, Bill Hagerty, thousands of dollars in campaign contributions. He tried to hide it from the public, didn't disclose it on his FEC reports, and then tried to give it back before anybody caught him. But this morning, the New York Times caught him and reported it. And this is the kind of thing I think people are so sick of, this swampy stuff that my opponent's doing. People just don't want a Washington insider. They really want someone who comes from outside of government, who's got a plan to repeal and replace Obamacare, to take on the communist Chinese government, to take on this mob. And I think people just are sick and tired of this. And I think it's just so telling that the day before the election, we come to find out that this guy is violating FEC rules. You know, we've called for an investigation, but I think he should just come clean that he's Romney's good friend. I mean, that's okay. But people should just know the truth.
Yeah, this is and this is why we wanted you on the show. Again, a New York Times article just out accusing Bill Hagerty of accepting a $5,600 donation from Mitt Romney. And this check was deposited before it was returned. And the reports we're getting, this is a possible violation of campaign finance rules. But to your point, Dr. Sethi, this is a matter of owning who you are. And the reality is that he's the guy who went negative against you. He's the guy that refuses to come on conservative talk shows to talk about the issues, and that gives me pause for concern here.
I mean, absolutely. Look, a vote for Bill Hagerty is a vote for Mitt Romney, and he says he stands with Trump. 4 years ago, he stood with Mitt Romney, and 4 years before that, he stood with Mitt Romney. And today, he's throwing Mitt Romney under the bus. Tomorrow, he'll throw the president under the bus. I think, you know, he's someone who just he changes with the winds, and that's why I think we need a true conservative in this race, someone who has a vision and a plan for the future of our country. Look, our federal debt is $27 trillion, and yet here are these establishment Republicans in Washington who are hanging out right now, thinking about how they can give yet more money so people can sit at home and be on unemployment and while small businesses across our state suffer. I just think we need a new direction of leadership in this country.
And for the record, yes, he is the Trump guy, but we're hearing reports that it was Jared Kushner who gave that endorsement.
I think people need to be aware
of that. People need to be aware of that. All right, Dr. Sethi, real quick, we've got about 30 seconds. What are you hearing about turnout for tomorrow? Y'all are expecting a good crowd?
Oh, yeah, our voters are energized. We're winning in the polls. I think it's just a matter of getting to tomorrow, getting our people to turn out across Tennessee. If you're ready for a real conservative, you want change in Washington, you're fed up with what you got, well, Tennessee, this is your chance right here, right now. This is a movement. It's become bigger than me, and I really believe we're going to win tomorrow night.
All right. Well, look, Dr. Sethi, we've really appreciated having you on the program during this initial cycle, and best of luck to you tomorrow as folks get out in Tennessee and vote. Dr. Manny Sethi, and this is a guy who was down double digits, I think, 20 points? And yet, as people started doing their homework and they started reading up on this guy, they realized, wait a second, this is the true conservative running in the race. He's not the guy giving money to Mitt Romney. He's not the guy palling around with Al Gore. Manny Sethi is a rock-solid conservative, and he's also a trauma surgeon, very successful, nationally known in his field, and he's never been in politics before. I kind of like that. Let's see what happens tomorrow. But there you go, folks. Got to do your homework on this stuff. Got to do your homework. All right, folks, stick around. Congressman Thomas Massie coming up, Rand Paul and John MacArthur. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.